أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سن بسنته يوم الدين، أما بعد. My dear sisters in Islam, as we continue in our weekly session regarding the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you missed any of the previous weeks, so far we have covered Allah's names, which are Al-Awwal, Al-Akhir, Al-Zahir, Al-Batin, Al-Aliyu, Al-A'la, Al-Muta'al, and Al-Azim. Eight names we covered so far. Last time, before the Thanksgiving break, we were talking about Allah being the Azim, the very majestic, the great one. And there are many aspects of His being the great one. We talked about it in the aspect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great because of Him creating us, giving us all these things that we have in this dunya, providing food for us, clothing for us, jazakallah, and keeping this dunya for us. Although it may seem that it is a test for us over here, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is azim in the sense of His protection and preservation of this dunya. This name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-azim, can be more understood with some of the other names that we're going to take today. And the other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as Rahman, Rahim, are also connected with Azim in the sense that it is Allah's mercy that He has given us everything in this dunya. Nothing can be achieved with our own. It is true that we work hard, we do the effort, we strive for it, and we accomplish our goals in this dunya. But Allah is Azim because He facilitated for us. He's the facilitator to make us accomplish our goals. Whether it was a degree of education, whether it was a business that we started, whether it was a job that we got promoted to, whatever the accomplishment we may have, we should always attribute everything, the greatness, to Allah. And that is why in our salah, in our namaz, we say Allahu Akbar. So many times we repeat Allahu Akbar because the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the next one that we'll cover today, Al-Kabir, is related to Azim. Allah is Kabir, the great, the majestic, because of His Azamah. And that is why in several places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about His greatness by saying that we as human beings never fully realized His greatness because we don't give enough thanks to Him. One ayah that I repeated last time was وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعٌ قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. This is in Surah Zumar, Surah 39, verse 67. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ, and they did not estimate or guesstimate or understand or comprehend the qadr of Allah. وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ, they did not truly realize and understand and comprehend the qadr of Allah. It's an Urdu word also, so it's easy to understand for those who know Urdu. But someone who doesn't know Arabic and Urdu, the way you can understand this word Qadr is the same thing as the Azma of Allah, the greatness of Allah. The standard, the Martaba, the accolade that is deserving for Allah, that is what Allah is saying. That these people, these human beings on earth, they did not truly estimate, understand, comprehend the maqam, the status, the honor, the degree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they were, then what would they do? They would totally become sublime. They will submit themselves. Literally, they will lay themselves down in the path of Allah when they understand the true qadr of Allah. And that is why Allah is using here in a negative way. وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرُ. And they did not. Because if they did, then their life will be different. And that's why this ayah is directly related to this name of Allah Al-Azim. Meaning if we really know Allah Al-Azim, then we will never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we really know Allah Al-Azim, we will never be irritant to our parents. If we really know Allah Al-Azim, we will never oppress any human being on this earth. And that is really how this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly imbibes in our mind. And you can tell by the way a Muslim behaves on earth, he or she, if they really know Allah is Azim, the way they portray themselves, the way they behave, and the way they relay themselves to others. And connected with this name is the name that we're going to take today, Al-Majid, which comes from Majd, Meem, Jeem, Dal, Majd, Al-Majid. Allah is Al-Majid, meaning the glorious one. One thing we talked about is Azim, Azama, meaning the standard, the honor, the decree. And here it's about the glory, meaning glory be to Allah. The surah we recited today in Isha, that Allah SWT tells us, Sabbih asmi rabbika al-a'la. Sabbih, meaning tasbih, glorify. Glorify your Rabb. Sabbih asmi, glorify the name, ism. Sabbih asmi rabbika al-a'la. Glorify the name of your Rabb, your mentor, your Allah, Rabbika. It's not Rabbukum over there. Allah is asking or indicating in this ayah, in this surah, the individual person, your Rabb, my Rabb, your Rabb, our Rabb, each person's Rabb. Sabbih asma rabbika al-a'la. Glorify the name of your Rabb, the great one, A'la. And that name is coming soon, inshallah, how A'la is there. Actually, we took that already before. And in connection with that is Al-Majid, from Majd. Meaning glory belongs to Allah SWT. Why is Allah Al-Majid? Because Allah SWT tells us in the Quran, in Surah Hud, Surah 11, verse 73, Rahmatullah wa barakatuh alaykum ahlul bayt, innahu hamidun majid. Allah is saying that may Allah's mercy and blessings be upon you, O people of the house, ahlul bayt over here, referring to the family of Ibrahim al-Islam. As you know, Allah's mother had special rahmah, special privileges, special honor on the family of Ibrahim, Ali Ibrahim, and on Ibrahim al-Islam himself. Because remember, Ibrahim al-Islam was Khalilullah, the close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said in the Quran only about Ibrahim al-Islam, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. No other prophet is mentioned in the Quran that Allah took him as a Khalil. And Khalil literally in Arabic comes from Khil. Khil literally meaning intimate, being very close. Someone who always you be with. So you have a lot of affinity, affection with him. So Allah SWT took Ibrahim as his Khalil. So here in this ayah, Allah SWT is saying to about Ibrahim as that look, Allah's rahmah and blessing upon you, the family of Ibrahim, Ahlul Bayt, innahu, verily Allah is the who? Hamidun Majid. Allah is the most praised one, Hamid, and Majid, the most glorious one. Why over here this name? Because the glory of Allah is that Yan'am Alik, he blesses upon people. This is the glory of Allah. This is how we truly understand this name of this particular name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is Majid, from Majd, from his glory, from his highness. Why? That he blesses us all the time. Look, how many times in a day we do mistakes and errors and shortcomings and deficiencies, and we may even happen to do in a day a sin. But does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pick on us right there and then? The moment we did ghibah, the moment we lied to someone, the moment we backbited someone, the moment we rumored about someone, at that junction, at that instant, did our heart stop? Did we become blind? Did we become deaf? Did we become mute? Did our tongue become paralyzed because we sinned by saying, lying, doing ghibah? This is the majd of Allah. This is what Allah wants to make us understand. Look, I am the glorious one. I am Majid. Why am I Majid? Because I always have a watchful eye on you, and yet I let you go. Now this should not be understood in this way. This should not be understood in this way that, oh, we can do whatever we want. Allah doesn't pick on us. Allah doesn't account us. No. See, the whole beauty of this dunya is that Allah has put us in an ocean. And He's saying, go swim. Swim as much as you want to swim. But remember, one day this ocean is going to dry up, this life is going to end up. Accountability is there. That is why a lot of time people say, how come that dictator, how come that tyrant, how come that oppressor is doing the wrong and Allah doesn't pick on him? Allah doesn't hold him. Allah doesn't. Because Allah is saying the true accountability, real hisab and hisab is up there in Quran. And yes, in this dunya also, Allah lets that person, shows that person before they die, the consequences of their bad deeds. But when Allah gives respite, a chance to someone, if somebody is ruling in their country for 40 years and committing oppression and tyranny, it does not mean that Allah loves that person or Allah from His own free will is giving them their chances. No, Allah is teaching us a lesson. And look at the audacity of this person, the stubbornness of this person, the boldness of this person, then how far can he or she go in the disobedience of Allah? But when Allah comes to catching someone, it doesn't even take a second. Why should we go so far? We can just see the example in the current era of the world. Saddam Hussein.
people who were Iraqis living under his rule, they were sick and tired, fed up, frustrated. And they saw that there's no end. If you were to ask someone 5 years ago, do you think, brother, is there any end of the oppression and injustice in Iraq? They said no. Until this person dies, there's no. Some people were saying that the only way we can get najat, we can get freedom from this person is through his death. Because when a person dies, that's it, that's the end. But look, Allah showed in front of our own eyes that when I come to catch someone, regardless of whatever happened, we're not talking about the politics. What I just want to show is from the glory of Allah, from the majid of Allah, He gave a person chance and chance and chance. Even at the time that the foreign forces invaded, He still gave a chance. Allah, the majid, gave a chance to that person. Why? All he had to do was say, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayk wa dumu'u anadam. The tears of guilt and remorse come out. I swear by Allah, wallah al-azim, Allah would have changed the turn of events. If only that one person, one leader, would just put his head down on the floor and say to Allah that for 40 years I was wrong, I was misguided, I was deviant, whatever, now I've learned a lesson, please forgive me, Allah, and change the status. Allah loves us so much. This is the majd of Allah. This is the glory of Allah. That in spite of so many wrong things that we do, still Allah looks at us with the nazar of 70 times more than a mother looks at her son or daughter. When we disobey our mother, the reason I use the issue of mother, because mother have more hilm than fathers. Fathers will be a little bit more strict in relationship, but mother, even if the son or daughter has done very bad thing right now in front of her, temporarily she'll be very upset, she'll turn her face and say, go away from my room, or go away from this house, but I don't want to see your face. But when that same son and daughter comes with a very miskeen face and pleading and guilt and remorse, that same mother, which temporarily a few seconds ago was very stiff at her, she becomes so molten, soft, she hugs him or her, the son and daughter, and forgets everything that he did just seconds ago. Allah is saying, I am 70 times more than that mother towards you, insan. This is why Allah is Al-Majid. Now again, that does not mean that we go and sin and do all the mistakes, we go kill someone, we go rob someone, and then come back to Allah, oh Allah, I'm sorry, I didn't know. It is not deliberate intentional. It is through that whatever happened, oh Allah, I will never do again. I make Tawbah Nasuha. Tawbah Nasuha means what? Sincere repentance. And from the Majd of Allah, as the scholar explains, that وَالْمَجْدْ هُوَ عَظْمَةَ الصِّفَاتِ وَسَعْتَهَا. The expansive nature of Allah. The Majd of Allah is, وَالْعَظْمَةَ of Allah is, what? That His sifat in every aspect and His expansion. For example, like what? فَكُلُّ وَصْفٍ مِّنْ أَوْصَافِ عَظِيمٍ شَعْنُهُ مَثَلًا فَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْكَامِلُ فِي عِلْمِهِ. Allah is Al-Alim. This is now in relation to Majd. This is another name of Allah coming here. So we cover this name over here. Al-Alim meaning what? The most knowledgeable one. Knowledge in what? Yes, He knows everything. He is the originator of knowledge. He gives us knowledge. So whether we got our bachelor's, PhD, master, whatever, it all came through the Al-Alim. He facilitated for us. And He's also Alim in the sense that He knows everything, what we think even. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةُ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. This ayah is in the Quran, where Allah SWT tells us, He knows, يَعْلَمُ, from His ilm. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةُ الْأَعْيُنِ. He knows the deception of your eyes, of our eyes. How somebody is looking, with what sight they're looking. Like you to ask someone, brother, stop staring. No, I'm not looking over there. I'm looking at that beautiful car standing on that parking lot. Someone else thought, mistook you, that you're looking or staring at some opposite gender. But the person immediately expels out from their tongue, saying, no, I'm looking at the car. Allah is saying, I know the deception of your eye. That person may not know what you're looking. You already justified yourself. But I, as Allah al-Alim, I know with what intention and sight you're using your eyesight. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةُ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. And Allah is saying, I also know what is hidden in your chest, meaning in your hearts. Nobody knows each other's thing. Even the husband and wife don't know what is inside their husband and wife's heart. As much as they may say anything from the tongue, can any husband claim, I know everything inside my wife's heart? Can any wife claim, I know everything how my husband feels? No. Because this is mukhfi, hidden. And from the majd, glory of Allah, the gloriness of Allah is. He's majid, how? Because he's alim, he knows everything in our heart, and yet he doesn't account for us. Because the Sahaba came to Rasulullah, they were very scared. They said, Ya Allah, whatever we have inside our heart, we are accounted for. On Qiyamah, Allah is going to hold us for that. I thought negative about this person, or had this feeling about that person. Rasulullah said, he did not know. So Allah revealed an ayah in the Quran, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you can. In that ayah, Rasulullah is explaining to us, look, from the taqwa of Allah is, fear Allah to the best of your capability. Meaning everything that is zahir, yes, you are accounted for. Whatever you do with your action, with your hand and legs, whatever you say from your tongue is accounted for. And now whatever is inside, it is not accounted for unless you express it. Unless you express it. If whatever feeling I have, sensitivity I have, if I bring it on my tongue, now I'm accounted for. So long as I kept it inside, I'm not. Why? Because this is from the Majd al-Majid. This is from the Majd of Allah. Then He forgives me. He ignores that. He leaves it by. Why? Because you didn't bring it on the tongue, so you didn't hurt anyone. If you brought it on the tongue, Walaikum As-Salaam. If you brought it on the tongue, you might have hurt someone. Like you went up to somebody and said, you know, I've been thinking this about you. But if you didn't bring this on the tongue, that person will never know. So they will always be happy about you. They will always be positive about you. That, oh, this person has a nice relationship with me. But now that you brought it on your tongue and you let them know what you were feeling, now Allah is going to account you for that. Because now you have hurt another individual. Now that person who would have had a good relationship with you has now become sour. The relationship has become sour. So this is from the Majd of Allah. Allah is Al-Majid, لماذا? Because Allah is Al-Alim, وَلَكِنْ وَاسِعَةِ عِلْمِهِ, that He forgives us. He doesn't account for everything that He knows about us. He knows every single thing about us, right? Every single thing, whatever is hidden, whatever is apparent, whatever nobody even knows, only I know about myself, and whatever I even don't know about myself. This is the supremacy of the ilm of Allah. Allah is Al-Alim, why? Because He knows things about me that I even don't know. Now you might ask, how can that be possible? How come I don't know something that Allah knows? Do I know that in future my car is going to hit a deer and my car is going to be finished and I won't have a car? No, I don't know that. But Allah knows that. Do I know that I will be marrying such and such woman and have so many kids? No, I don't know that. I only got to know when I married the individual. I only got to know when I started to have the kids. But before that, Allah knew. Do I know that some dharr, some harm is approaching me, maybe in a year or two something wrong is going to happen to me in my life? No, I don't know that. Allah knows. So from the end of Allah is His Majd and Majid, the glory, the glorious one. I mean, how better can I explain this, that Allah is Majid because in every sifa, His sama, His basr, His ilm, His khabr, Allah al-Alim, al-Khabir, al-Wasi, al-Wasi', al-Sami', al-Basir, in all these aspects, Allah is commanding authority, but yet He lets us off the hook. He is seeing everything, He is hearing everything, He knows everything, He is Khabir, He is Al-Alim, yet He lets us off the hook. We miss a prayer here and there, He lets off the hook. We did a little mistake in the fasting, He lets us off the hook. We paid zakat, missed a dollar or a penny, He lets us off the hook. This is the Majd. The best way you can understand that this name of Allah Al-Majid is from that famous Sahabi, Abu Layla. Abu Layla radiallahu anhu, one day he came out of his house, very beautiful. This incident I love always, because you really bleed from your heart when you listen to this incident. He came out of his house, and he's walking in the pathway, and he meets Yulaqa Rasulullah. He sees Rasulullah. The moment his eyesight saw a Rasulullah, what came out of his mouth? He said, بَلَغْنَا السَّمَاءَ مَجْدَنَا. Same, Majid from Majid. بَلَغْنَا السَّمَاءَ مَجْدَنَا وَإِنَّا لَفَوْقَهُ لَزَاهِدُونَ. So Rasulullah, he had this rapport with his Sahaba. He would smile, you know, nice big smile. And he said, إِلَى أَيْنَ يَا أَبَا لَيْلَ. To where, O Abu Layla? What did Abu Layla say? Let me translate that first. He said that, Ya Rasulullah, بَلَغْنَا, we have reached. What has reached? بَلَغْنَا السَّمَاءَ مَجْدَنَا. Our glory, our height of glory has reached the sama, the sky. You know, like they say in the English proverb, sky is the limit. Abu Layla is teaching us another horizon, something better. for Muslims, for a believer, sky is not the limit. In fact, sky is just the beginning. Where is the limit? Abu Layla is teaching us. بَلَغْنَا السَّمَاءَ مَجْدَنَا وَإِنَّ لَفَوْقَهُ لَذَاهِبُونَ. He's saying that our glory, our majd has reached the sama sky. And we are certain, because lam al-ta'keed is being used here. وَإِنَّ لَفَوْقَهُ. If he would have just said فَوْقَهُ, that's just going above. He's saying, and indeed, certainly, we are not just going settling on the sky, this limit. We are indeed certainly going above the sky. لَفَوْقَهُ لَذَاهِبُونَ. Indeed, we are going ذَهَاب. So then, smilingly, in a very, not in a sarcastic way, in a pleasant way, in a hopeful, gratitude way, Rasulullah asks Abu Layla, "Ila ayna ya Abu Layla? Where are you going to? Where can you go above the sky? Are you going to Moon, Jupiter, Saturn?" Look at the jawab, look at the answer of Abu Layla. Man, this tells you the broadened horizons of the Sahaba, how they used to think, what realm was their brain functioning on. We function on what? Three dimension? The most you can have four dimension? Believe you me, brothers and sisters, the Sahaba used to live in an unlimited dimension, in every aspect. He said, إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And so, he's saying what? To paradise. Meaning sky is our beginning, but it's not the limit. Our majd, our glory, we're going to keep on working hard for this glory, which here in this hadith, the scholars, you know, make tafsir of this. The majd here, what he's meaning, Abu Layla, is our goal, our aspiration, our desire, working hard enough, meaning Islam is the majd. Our Islam glory is going to be going all the way to Jannah. So, look at Rasulullah, he replies back to him saying, أَيُّ حَلْمٍ هَذَا يَا أَبَا لَيْلَ. What kind of dream did you see today, O Abu Layla? Meaning, he is trying to push up, trying to boost the morale, the self-esteem of Abu Layla. He's saying, Ya Abu Layla, did you see a dream last night? Did you see a dream today? What kind of dream are you talking about? Meaning in a smilingly way, he said, بَلْ هِمَّةٌ لَيْسَ هُ هِلْمٌ وَلَكِنْ بَلْ هِمَّةٌ عَالِيَةٌ. Abu Layla, رَيْفَ الْعَنْهُ, says back to Rasulullah, it's not a dream. I did not see a dream last night, nor today. What I'm saying to you, Rasulullah, as a Sahabi, as the one who you inspired me and transpired me this iman, I'm saying back to you this, that this is himmatun aliyah. Now those of you who are Arab, you know what himma means. Let me try to explain the best we can. Himma literally means your fervor, your zeal, your passion, your enthusiasm. Like your heart and mind, your brain, your whole shakhsiyah is into something. Like if you're into racing, you have a passion for racing, you have a zeal for racing, you have a fervor for racing, you'll do anything for racing. You'll be at the NASCAR, you'll be at the Indy Rally, you'll be at this car, you'll be at that. I mean, people will say, man, this guy, his whole himma is just sayara, fuck. What do you call racing? Sabaq. Meaning when somebody looks at you, they immediately derive your passion is this. How? Because they look at your attire, they look at your shakhsiyah, your personality. They deduce inferences from your behavior pattern, from the thing that you're so much into. If somebody's into programming, you see them always on the computer, on the gadget, and everything. Everywhere you go, whether they're going for a dinner party, they have their small PDA lab they're working on. People having nice dinner and everything, you say, oh, I finished my dinner. You say, what? You have no time off? Take a break. No, because this is their himmah. And Abu Layla is saying, our himmatul Islam is da'wah, spreading Islam to the farthest frontiers. Himmatun aliyah. And that's why Rasulullah said at the end of this incident, Inshallah ila al-Jannah ya Abu Layla. Indeed, you will make it to Jannah. Meaning the passion that we should have, I want to be a Jannati. The zeal, the fervor that should be written on my forehead, nothing but Jannah. Jin Noon Ta Marbuta, or J-A-N-N-A, however you want to spell it. It should be on the forehead. How? With a black permanent marker, you write it down? No. Whenever somebody sees you, they say, man, this guy or this woman, their passion is Jannah. They're working day and night hard. Because when you look at the Hayatu Sahaba, when you look at the life characteristic sketch of all the Sahaba, yarhamukullah, you look at the sketch of the whole Sahaba and Sahabiyat, the woman can hear Rasulullah. You see nothing except a passion, a zeal, a stamina, a fervor for Jannah. Working hard day and night for Jannah. SubhanAllah, look at that generation and look at us. How much of daily routine time we spend for Jannah or for Dunya, and how much of time they spend for Jannah or for Dunya. Even in their Dunya, they have things for Jannah. If they're riding a camel, riding a horse, it is Jannah. Why? Because they're doing azkar, zikr, tasbih. Or not even that, memorizing something. Maybe they learned a du'a from Rasul something, memorizing that. Maybe they learned an ayah, they're repeating that. Meaning, in their dunya, the action what they're doing for dunya, it's also for Jannah. In their sleep, for Jannah. They recite the du'a before and after the sleep, it's part of Jannah. Their food, they recite the du'a before and after the food, is Jannah. How many times do we get to remember to recite Bismillah, ala barakatillah, and then start eating? And at the end of the day, we say, Alhamdulillah, ladhi ata'amana wa saqana wa ja'ala min muslimin. We forget it so many times. So from the mazd of Allah is, He's still blessing us in our food. You don't get sick, you don't get anemic, you don't get sort of, what's that? Anorexic or something. The terminology is that when you get so skinny, meaning you're eating food, but it's not getting into you. It's from the majd of Allah that we forget to say Bismillah so many times, we forget to say Alhamdulillah at the end so many times. It is from the Majid, Allah al-Majid, that He yubarik lana fi ta'amina wa sharabina. He still blesses us in our food and drink. Every time nalbisu ayyu libas, every time we wear any clothes, we forget to say the du'a for it. But it is from the Majid, majd of Allah, glory of Allah, He still gives us barakah in our clothes. They don't get torn. They don't get ripped apart. They don't get so worse that you just use it once and then have to throw it. No. There is barakah in clothing. What I'm trying to show you, brothers and sisters, that in our day-to-day life, in our daily chores, there is so much majd of Allah embedded, yet we are the one who are ghafileen. We don't recognize it. We don't see it. If you ponder on the little nitty-gritty details of your personal life on a daily basis, you will see the majd, the azam of Allah all over you. It's like they say, it's written all over the person. Yet there's nothing written. Why? Because it's so apparent, so vahid. So these two names of Allah are mutaradifan. They're very close to each other. They're synonyms. Al-Azim, Al-Majid. He is Azim because he's Majid, and he is Majid because he's Azim. He is the great and the glorious one. And we explained enough how that is. Moving on forward, another name related to this one also is Al-Kabir. Al-Kabir al-Muta'al. We took this last time, 2 weeks ago, that Al-A'la, Al-Muta'al, Al-Ali, you know, the high, the glorious one, the magnificent. In the same way you have Al-Kabir, the most great. Meaning nobody is Akbar min Allah. That is why we say Allahu Akbar. Every single thing we do in our daily life, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Why? From Kabara. Kabara doesn't just mean Kabara in terms of the size or the Martaba. But in every aspect, Allah is Akbar. In respect and honor, Allahu Akbar. In the issue of how big somebody is, Allah is still Akbar. Yes, my father is very big for me because he is my father. My mother is big for me. I have to respect and honor. My grandfather, as you go in the hierarchy, everybody is becoming bigger than the other one. My grandfather is bigger than my father. My grandmother is bigger than my mother. But yet, as you keep going high, who is the Akbar? Allahu Akbar. Yes, Rasulullah is bigger for us than our mother and father. We have to respect and obey Rasulullah. We have to love Rasulullah more than we love our parents and love ourselves. But is there anyone akbar than Rasulullah? Yes, Allahu Akbar. But is there anyone bigger than Allah? No. Allah is the great one. And one thing that I need to warn for all of us is sometimes we misconceive this name of Allah, meaning Kabir. Allah is so huge, big. No. There is no size, there is no jihah, wala zakhm lillah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not bounded by any metaphysical boundaries. Allah is not defined in any size. Yes, we have a size. This thing has a shape and a size. Allah has no shape and no size. We don't know. Mahiyat Allah, la na'rifuha. So therefore, don't misconstrue in your brain thinking, how big is Allah? Allah is kabir, al-kabir al-muta'al. So maybe Allah is 50 feet, 500 feet, no. You can't measure Allah. Allah is immeasurable. And that is what this name is trying to relay to us. That don't go in that direction, in that realm, that, oh, Allah spans all over the globe. No, it's from the majd of Allah, from the azam of Allah, that He is nowhere comparable to who? To His creations. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ Allah says in the Quran very clearly, how more clear you want. Allah says in Surah Shura, Surah 42, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ There is nothing that is mithil, comparable, similar to Allah. So don't exert your effort in your brain to think, is Allah the size of the sun, the moon, or the size of the planet or the size of the galaxy. No, don't go in that direction. Just think that yes, Allah is Kabir. How is Allah Kabir? He is the great one. He is the majestic, the glorious, the holy, the magnificent. And that is why when we, what does Allah want from us from this name, Kabir? When I say Allah is Al-Kabir, Allah wants our loyalty, commitment. How? That we put Allah the first priority. If I say Allahu Akbar, means Allah is the great, Allah is the biggest, meaning Allah has to come first. Then my own self comes. Not that I come first and Allah came behind me, وَلِيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ اسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. Meaning at the work, in my work, in my shughl, in my aspect of my study, in my university, wherever I am, when the time for the prayer comes, this is now the true test. Do you really believe Allah is Al-Kabir Al-Muta'al? Or do you say, oh, no problem, I'll pray when I get home. I'll pray all together. I have, because now it's winter time, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib come so close to each other, I'll just patch it up, make a nice one big burger bundle, and pray at home one shot. I'll pray four and four and three. So it'll be easy. No. The moment the prayer comes, you know it's 11:40 now, Zohar has entered. I'll try my best in my daily routine schedule, try to flexile some here and there, and try to make sure that at least I pray the Fard. Yes, the Sunnah, if I don't have time to pray, there is no haraj in that. If you have time to pray in your daily hectic schedule, yes, you can pray. But remember, what Shaitan misleads us, saying, oh, you have to pray 12 raka'at for Zohar, so now you got to find a big time, nice place somewhere. No. We should have a frenzy of finishing the prayer, at least the Fard. And yes, later on, if we have time, we can pray the Sunnah. And that is how we need to fulfill the test of Allahu Akbar, that Allah comes first. Whatever the requirement of the deen is, should I fulfill that first, or the requirement of my wife, my husband, my kids first? I mean, that is why we see very glorious stories from the Sahabiyat, the mothers of the past. They would not give food to their son and daughter at home from the kitchen until they finish their prayer. I mean, subhanAllah, our sisters, they have so much power in their head. Murabbiya, I mean, she is a, how can you, she's a mentor, she's a sculptor, she's sculpting a shakhsiyah personality in her son and daughter, right from the day one, right when they're a toddler. They're coming home hungry from school, say, first pray for them. Even if salah is not fard on them, you train them from a young mind. That's why Rasulullah said that make counseling to your children from a young age. Rabbu awlaadu bima'na salah. And yes, by 7, make sure that they start praying. And make, by 12, even start using, you know, in a source of a forceful way to make sure they pray. Meaning, if the mother trains the child from day one, then look, it's time for Dhuhr, I'll give you lunch after you pray Dhuhr. It's time for Asr, I'll give you your snack after Asr. It's time for Maghrib, I'll give you your dinner after Maghrib. Then go to bed before Isha. So now the child is getting trained, getting magnetized. Now look, yes, you're not bribing the child, let me put it this way, that oh, you, if you pray, I'll give you food. No. But what you're training the child is, prayer is very important. As much as food is important for quenching the hunger and the thirst in your body, but prayer is very important. Allah comes first and then quenching. So then the child gets programmed. Now that mother will never complain to any imam that, oh, imam, my son and daughter doesn't pray. Because she took care of it right there and then at young age. And that is why I tell every sister, that Allah has given all the Muslim women in this earth the sultan authority. She can even transform her husband. Suppose she got married, and after marriage she found out her husband doesn't pray at all. Khalas, wasalli, qat. Doesn't pray at all. She can gradually, slowly, slowly mold the husband's personality into prayer. She'll say, come, let's go from Maghrib to the Masjid. Maybe he, initial instant he said, oh no, I don't pray. I never prayed in my life before marriage. You gotta make me pray? No. Oh, no problem, come. Meaning, she, I always, my teacher used to always tell me, the woman is a double-edged sword. She can use force and she can also use love, hub at times. Look how husbands get easily melted down when the wife talks sweet. And he'll what, pray? He'll pray all night for you. And at the same time, if he's not listening through love and through soft nature, use the sulta. Khalas, I'm not going to cook. You know what? Don't use this against your husband. But Rasulullah said, it is not fard on the wife to cook. Mush fard ayn. The husband can never force her, cook meal for me. What is Allah teaching our sisters in Islam? You have sulta bi yadik. You can tell the husband, you be obedient to Allah, ta'at Allah awwalan wa ta'at Rasuli, and then you see how obedient I am in terms of cooking food. Allah, if you want to ijbir me, you want to force me to cook food, give me one dalil, one hadith, one ayah in the Quran that tells the wife that she has to cook for her. And that's it. He has nothing. He can go to every mufti in Ireland, he will not get. Even if he bribes the Ireland, I'm going to do one thing, I can't, because I have a wife too. So I can't take this bribe. Any other bribe, tell me about it. So what I'm telling sisters, inshallah, that they can pass on to other sisters, that house, the house, bait, can be transformed into Akbar, Allahu Akbar, by the authority that Allah has vested in the motherhood, in the wifehood, in the sisterhood, in the daughterhood. A woman is a mother, a sister, a wife, a daughter. Each one of these relationships are very influential. You see how daughters influence fathers. They can easily mold their fathers into deen, into ta'atullah rasul. Same thing with sisters. She can easily mold her brother, her siblings in the same way, and her mother and father. Same thing with as a wife. Many wives complain to imams that I'm having a turbulent relationship in my domestic life. She doesn't need to. She's a double-edged sword. She has to only know when to use love and softness and tenderness, and when to use authority and stiffness a little bit, because through these both mixture, the thing runs smoothly. But if you use excessive love or excessive force, you'll break the relationship. Next name we have is As-Sami'. This one and the next one is very close to each other. As-Sami' al-Basir. You see that Allah will use these two names a lot in the Quran, and they'll come together. Like we said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. What does As-Sami' and al-Basir, what does it mean? Allah is the all-hearing and all-seeing. But let me warn first. It does not mean that Allah has eyes or ears. No. The faculty of Sama' is listening. The faculty of Basar is seeing. Allah is saying, what we say is, Allah is Sami' al-Basir. All hearing, all seeing. وَلَا نَعْرِفُ مَا هِيَتُ. We don't know how Allah is all hearing and seeing. بِعِلْمٍ وَبِخِبْرَتِهِ. But we cannot derive out of this that, oh, Allah has eyes and ears like us. We cannot derive out of this that Allah has a shape and size and a body like us. No. Yes, for us, the tool, the instrument to use, to see, is eye. For us, the tool, instrument to hear is ear. But that does not mean that Allah is limited in His nature to use the same tool and things for us. No. But for Himself, no. That is why Allah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. Allah, there's nothing comparable to it. When Allah is saying He is all hearing, all seeing, we accept it at face value. We don't indulge further, because then this is what Shaitan wants us to do. Shaitan wants us to deviate and go into a whole realm, you know, meandering all around the place, thinking, how does Allah hear? How does Allah see? We don't need to indulge in that. All we have to know is Allah is all hearing, all seeing. And His sight is beyond the highest thing of our imagination. Why? Because our sight is limited. We ourselves are limited. We are so limited in every aspect of our body, our life, everything. Allah is unlimited. That's why every name of Allah has Al. Al-Sami'. Al-Basir. Meaning Allah is infinite, unlimited. Therefore, the sight and hearing of Allah is not limited. This is what Allah wants to teach us from these two names. Meaning, you can hear only so much. If I ask any one of you, you hear what's going on outside in the lobby right now? None of you will say, yes, I can hear. If I were to say, tell you, do you know what is behind this wall? None of you know. But Allah is teaching us, He's al-Sami', He's all-hearing, and al-Basir, all-seeing, He knows what is behind this wall. He knows inside what is the material here. We might need a microscope or something to look. He is hearing everything that is going on in this room right now. But more than that, He is hearing every emotion and feeling and thought that is erupting in your minds as I speak. Whatever you listen to from my words, from my tongue right now, and as the thought process and the chain is erupting in your mind, Allah is As-Sami'. Subhanallah. Look at the power of Allah. Forget about hearing what's going on in America alone, or in Australia and China. Allah is hearing everything, everywhere, every second, multi-dimensional. It is not limited, can you imagine? We can't even hear what's on the other side, let alone what to hear 10,000 miles away. But Allah is hearing everything. Even what's going on the ground, the ant. What is the ant talking to each other ant? Allah is hearing. As-Sami' al-Basir. Allah knows what is going on, how the lava is cultivating in the hibernation that is there. Amma ahna, we are so limited. So what Allah wants from these two names from us is to expand our horizon, to broaden our mind, and be conscientious of what? That I can't run from Allah. Or let me use this phrase, I like this. Thanks to Mr. Bush. You can run, but you can't hide. This is exactly Allah telling us. Because Allah is saying what? You run, run, where you want to go? You want to go from America to China, China to Australia? Go. Who is making you run also? Allah! He's facilitating for you to get a ticket, get on the airline, go. If Allah wants, He does not make you run. So Allah is saying, you can't go anywhere. Even if you go into the bathroom, and you think that you can obscure and hide yourself from your father, mother, brother, sister, husband, right? But who's there? It does not mean Allah is there physically, no. As-Sami' al-Basir, Allah is watching and hearing. More than that, Allah doesn't want us to speak out anything. Whatever thought and feeling is there inside my chest, like I said the ayah earlier today, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةُ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ السُّدُورِ. Look at the word Allah used. I mean, subhanAllah, the Mufassirin over here say, the two words that Allah used here are very mind-boggling. When it came to the issue of ayah, what did Allah use? يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةُ الْخِيَانَةِ. Which means what? خِيَانَة is the opposite of amana. Amana, amin, is trustworthy. Khayana, khain is what? Khayana and khain. Well, how do we translate that?
Cheating.
Cheating, thank you. Allah is saying, I know the deception and the cheating of your eye. Meaning even your eye, sometimes your eye cheats you. Now you may say, how? Can somebody give me an example how your eye cheats you? It cheats you. But Allah knows that too. You have any example? Yeah.
Like if you read something,
very good. Shaf left alik. That is one aspect of it. That you read something and you misunderstood. And then you go back and revisit and recheck. Oh no! The person says, you misunderstood me. I never meant by that word there. Oh, but I read it that way. That is one aspect. Another one is what? You lost your wallet, you lost your keys, you lost your glasses, you lost your watch somewhere. You keep searching all over the house. You can't find it. You say, I looked this. And then finally, after reciting certain du'as and thing azkar, when you finally find it, you say, oh my God, I looked in this place, how come I didn't see it? يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةُ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. Your eye betrayed you. This is how your eye betrayed you. Because Allah did not want your eye to look for that watch or wallet or key at that time, at that moment, in that place. So hence, you look in that cupboard, you look in that drawer and everything, but you could not see. Who hid your vision? Al-Basir. And then when Allah wanted you to see, you went to that same place, you said, oh my God, it was here. How come I didn't find it the first time? This is what Allah said. What a beauty from this air. And that is what that's why tafsir is so beautiful, that when you go into tafsir, it's like you're going in scuba diving, ocean diving, you know, going to the depths of the ocean. If you just swim on the surface of the ocean, you don't feel that much pleasure. But when you put the mask and the oxygen tank, you go all the way to the ocean bed, you get thrilled. Wow, I'm so many thousand feet down here below the water, and so many different kinds of fish. That's the same thing with tafsir of Quran. When you go to the depth of the words and the meaning, what is Allah really, reading between the lines, what is Allah really implying to us? He's saying, look, I am so powerful that I'm giving you the eye, I'm giving you the sight, yet I can hide your, I can make your eye cheat you. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةُ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي. And when it came to the chest, look what Allah used, تُخْفِي, خَفَى, مُخْفِي, hidden. He could have used this also for the eye, but no. Because Allah is saying, what do we do with our chest? We always hide. When somebody says, what is irritating you, brother, sister? There's something hot, heavy on your heart. Your chest is heavy. Talk to me. You know, take it out. Express yourself. It'll make you feel lighter, right? When you have a good friend, a best friend, they come up to you and say, you know, I can sense there's something perturbing you. There's something that is really upsetting you. Why don't you talk to me about it? Let it come out from the chest. What is that really you implying? You're saying that somebody is hiding, مُخْفِي. Allah is saying, وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. Whatever your chest high, يَعْلَمُهُ. يَعْلَمُ. How? He is As-Sami', Al-Basir, Al-Alim, Al-Hakim, Al-Khabir. And these are the names that we covered today in those aspects
that Allah SWT tells us, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. This is in Surah Nisa, Surah 4, verse 134. Allah SWT tells us, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. And Allah is certainly indeed verily all hearing and all seeing. Meaning nothing can be hidden, nothing can be deceived from Him in any cause, in any way. Another place Allah SWT tells us, إِنَّ رَبِّي لَسَمِيعُ الدُّعَاءِ. Verily indeed, my Rabb, my Allah, my Lord, is لَسَمِيعُ الدُّعَاءِ. Indeed, hearing of all my dua, supplication. Not only is Allah as-Sami' and al-Basir in terms of what we do and things and perform, but Allah is also as-Sami' in terms of what we ask of Him. We plead to Him, Ya Allah. And we use these names. The purpose of memorizing these names and understanding names is we use them in our dua. Ya Azizu, Ya Qawiyu, Ya Jabbaru, Ya Mutakabbiru, Ya A'la, Ya Muta'al, Ya Aliyu, Ya Azimu, Ya Majidu, Ya Hakimu, Ya Alimu, Ya Khabiru. We use these names, Allah loves that. When you use so many names of Allah in your dua, I don't want to compare between Allah and human being, but when you call any human being in this dunya with multiple names, don't they get delighted? Like you call your father with 10 different names. Your father will just lay himself down in front of you. My God, my son and daughter remember me by 10 different names. This is Allah we're talking about, for Allah's sake. Don't you think He's going to be 100 million times more happy than any father or mother when you call Him with His names? Ya Hannanu, Ya Mannanu, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Taw. I mean, so beautiful names. This is the beauty why Rasulullah said, whoever man ahsaha faqad dakhala al-Jannah. Whoever memorized the 99 names of Allah will indeed enter Jannah. Why? Because throughout their life, they are remembering Allah with not just Allah, one name, many names. Muta'addid. So Allah will come running to them so rapidly, fast. And start using them. Whatever names you've memorized, start using them. Any salah in your Fajr, Asr, Maghrib, whenever you finish salah, just raise your hands, you start saying those names. Al-awwal wal-akhir wal-zahir wal-batin. Irhamni ya rahamur rahimin. Ya rahim, ya mannan, ya hannan, irhamni. Ighfirli, ya ghaffar, ya ghafur, ya tawab. See, whatever aspect you're asking. If you want protection or something, ya hafizu, ya hafizu, ihfizni min kulli sharr, min kulli da. Hafiz, one of the names of Allah. So, this is the beauty of learning the names of Allah SWT and incorporating them. And if you want to memorize them faster, take a tasbih, take a bead, and start reciting that name. 10 times, 50 times, there's no certain number, 100 times. Like what the scholars of the past say, it's good if you memorize the name and then repeat it every day 100 times, then it'll be fixed in memory. You keep saying, Ya Allah, okay, we know Allah. Ya Mu'izzu, Ya Mu'izzu, Ya Muzillu, Ya Muzillu. You get to know new names. Ya Hakimu, Ya Samiu, Ya Basiru. Keep reciting them these names. And also when we are in turmoil, our fuqaha, our ulama, they give certain azkar, certain prescription. You know, like a prescription from a doctor? We have prescription from our scholars, ulama, of certain names of Allah SWT in difficulty, in hardship. If you're facing, I'll give you one of them that I learned from one my sheikh. If you're facing any difficulty that is very mind-boggling and very stressing, you feel like every door is being closed. Wherever you go for your work, for your file or your case, it's been closed. So what should you recite? Ya Allahu, Ya Azizu, Ya Mu'izzu. Ya Allahu, Ya Azizu, Ya Mu'izzu. That, oh Allah, Aziz, the Mighty, and Mu'izzu, the Giver of Respect. Because when you go for help, it feels a little bad. Because you're asking help. But you're asking help here in from Allah. So Allah will open the doors for you, make things facilitated for you, that you will go to certain places where help will come for you. And another thing for that, if you feel danger, like threat, warning from someone, like somebody's going to harm you or something is harming you, or like a lot of times people ask me, oh, I saw a shadow in the curtain in my house. You know what you should be reciting? You should be reciting 100 times every day in the morning and evening, Ya Hafizu, Ya Hafizu, Ya Hafizu. Al-Hafiz is the name of Allah. From Hifiz. Ya Hafizu, protect me, Ya Hafizu. Or better yet, along with this, along with 100 times, Ya Hafizu, Ya Hafizu, Ya Hafizu, recite the ayah from Surah Yasin. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. If you feel, if there is any intuition, because this is all from Shaitan, oh I saw a shadow, oh I heard some voice, oh I saw the light turn off automatically, things like this, if it happens, just recite this ayah from Surah Yasin.
وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون. We made a barrier, a hedge, a sad من بين أيديهم, from between them, ومن خلفهم, from behind them, فأغشيناهم, so we covered them, فهم لا يبصرون, and they cannot see. When did Rasulullah recite this ayah? Who can tell me? When? In the time of Hijrah. He was told by Jibreel Islam to recite this ayah in the time of Hijrah, when the Quraysh was standing with their shiny, sharp swords to kill him. And he's going in front of them, and their eyes are not closed, their eyes are open, he's going in front of them. And they could not, he did not become invisible, no. Because one thing somebody can say, oh, he became invisible so they could see. No, he was visible, he was there. But this is the might, the quwwah, Qawi al-Aziz. This is the quwwah and izzah of Allah, that you are not invisible, you are apparent, you go in front of them, you recite these verses of Allah, and nobody can see. Thank you. MashaAllah, anta Sheikh, Sheikh, fadl. This is the beauty of learning together, that, as the brother informed, that this is also from khainatul a'in. The deception of the eye, cheating of the eye. I mean, Allah made it for your eyes, for those people of the Quraysh, not to see him at that time. Just like when we're looking for our keys and we can't find them, but then we find them again in the same place that we look. So just to recap, we cover the names today. Al-Majid, Al-Kabir, Al-Sami'u, Al-Basiru, and Al-Alimu, Al-Khabir. Okay? So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 names we covered today. Alhamdulillah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salam, rasul kareem.